Spring is in the air, and it's the season for growth and new experiences in your career. Explore the country with rewarding travel assignments through Arias Medical Group. Know a PT? Make a referral and earn up to $1,000. To learn more, call 1-800-340-2619 or visit ariusmedical.com. That's AURUSmedical.com.
This is the PT Pinecast. A podcast that talks about physical therapy over beer. Bringing together clinicians, researchers, and forward-thinking PTs in a show that's anything but boring.
Let there be beer!
This is the PT Pinecast with your host, Jimmy McKay.
Because the best conversations happen at happy hour, welcome to ours. Our next guest owns an education company called Structure and Function, where she teaches a dry needling curriculum in orthopedic rehab and sports performance. She is an associate professor in athletic training at A.T. Still University, and she is currently working on her book called Bridging the Gap from Rehab to Performance. Our guest in the PT Pinecast, Sue Falsoni. Sue, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
We tried to connect last year, I think, at CSM.
That's
and
true.
If anybody's been to CSM before, like I think last year was my first CSM in Anaheim, and I said, let's try to connect. And people would say, I'm a little busy, and I thought I was getting like kind of brushed off. And then I came to CSM and realized, oh no, it's just insane. It's crazy.
Yeah, a million people, there's a million things going on.
So we actually bumped into each other on the way here. I was dragging a bag of PT Pinecast beer koozies down the walkway, and you just kind of came and was like, I think I'm actually supposed to meet with you guys. I'm like, oh, first guest is here, and she's early. So I appreciate you carving out some time and talking with us.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me.
So CSM, a lot of PTs. I'm hearing reports of more than 14,000, which is going to set a record here for this CSM, which I like.
Wow, that's like, impressive.
No big deal, but we're here and we're having some drinks.
Yeah.
So dry needling. I've taken a course. I've actually audited a course as a student. I've taken a course now that I've graduated 6 months ago and become an actual PT.
Congratulations.
Thank you. When did you start and why?
I started with dry needling, gosh, probably 8 or 9 years ago at this point.
And who introduced her? How'd you stumble upon it?
So my friend Erwin Valencia, who is, I don't know exact title, director of performance, I think, for the New York Knicks.
Okay.
Or rehab or something.
Something awesome at the
Knicks.
Yeah,
something awesome at the New York Knicks. But at the time, he was with Pittsburgh Pirates. And
won't hold that against him.
Yeah. No. And I was with Dodgers, obviously. And so he told me about this great modality that he had been introduced to. And so I sought it out. I sought out that education. And I started teaching for another company for a couple years. And then had the opportunity to branch out on my own this past summer. So that's what I did. Always good to own your own business. So
why do you like using dry needling, especially with, I mean, I'm going to bring it up eventually, but you know, you work with the highest performance athletes. Why do you like using it? Why do you like using that particular modality? What do you try to get out of it?
Dry needling for me, let me start by saying every modality is not for every person.
Sure.
Right? So it's not my only thing that I do. I think it's kind of odd that I own and teach a dry needling company because it's like one of however many tools that I use. So I certainly don't use it in isolation, but it's definitely a powerful tool. You get some immediate objective changes in range of motion and strength and posture.
I've seen it.
Yeah, and decrease in pain, right? And so, yeah, I just think it's a powerful modality. It saves my hands for sure. And like I said, we get some immediate fast objective changes, which when you're in professional sport, you need immediate, fast, effective changes that stick. And so it's been a great modality.
So you brought it up. We'll get back to the dry needling and the company and how you utilize that. But you're no stranger to professional sports. I want you to talk about that. You're kind of a first.
Yeah, I was the first female head athletic trainer. For the major sports, for football, baseball, basketball, and hockey. So yeah, that it was a cool experience.
It's kind of a big deal.
Yeah, it was a big deal. I thought it was going to kind of be a 15 minutes of fame thing, but
that
was with the Dodgers. And I continue to get amazing emails and social media posts from young women all over the country who are in high school that say, hey, I wanted to do this and I didn't think I could. And I had one girl, she was so sweet, she emailed me and she said, the stupid boys in my class said that I can't ever work with professional sports teams because I'm a girl. And then I found your name. So it's been a really cool journey to sort of talk with all these young women across the country about this.
How'd that come about? Because I'm sure the person who hired you knew that. I mean,
yeah.
How'd that situation set itself up?
I was with Athletes Performance. So I was with Athletes Performance for 13 years, left there as a vice president. So I was with them for a very long time.
And that is what? What is Athletes Performance?
It's now known as Exos.
Okay, which is?
A sport performance company.
Gotcha.
So we work with professional athletes there all the time. And so the Dodgers came to us kind of seeking some additional help. It somehow landed on my plate to sort of manage that contract. And then I just really got to know the guys, got to know the head athletic trainer at the time. When he moved up into a vice president position, he kind of brought me on as the head athletic trainer. So yeah, it was definitely right place at the right time. I worked with the team for a total of 6 years. And so 2 years as their head athletic trainer.
I'm not going to ask you to pick favorite players, but who's your favorite player?
I can't.
Who are some people that you liked working with?
Well, I mean, they're all fantastic. I mean, obviously, Clayton Kershaw has the most amazing work ethic.
Beast.
Yeah, his work ethic is unbelievable.
Hard. I feel bad for people who have to stand 60 feet, 6 inches away from him. He throws hard.
He throws really, really hard. Yeah, they all do. When you're standing there and you're watching how fast that ball goes by, it's really amazing.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was an amazing experience, and I'm really grateful that I had that. It was pretty cool.
I talked to a guy by the name of Sean Pardinette who worked with the White Sox,
yeah,
and now he's working with the Royals, and he is immediately, as soon as I was done with him, he's like, you need to talk to Sue. What's it like day in my life? What's it like? What are you doing as the head athletic trainer of a professional baseball team? Where are you? Like, what's your day like on game day? What's your day like not on game day?
Yeah, well, there's never not a game day. There's almost not.
162 in a year? Every
yeah.
day is a game.
162 and 183 days. It's a pretty
is that
cool.
what it is?
Yeah.
Oh my God, there's 20 off. I never knew that before. There's 20 off days.
Yeah, and you're usually traveling on those days.
Get out of
here.
Yeah,
so you're on an airplane.
162 a lot, but 162 out of 182.
Yeah.
Wow, you just blew my mind.
Yeah.
All right, so what's it? So you're right. Every day is pretty much a game day, or a game day after, a day before a game day.
Yeah.
So what's a day like? What are you doing?
It's pretty constant. I mean, you show up to the ballpark around, or at least I showed up to the ballpark around noon if everything was good. So noon, show up, and then you kind of just do your paperwork, get ready, obviously, for the day. Your injured guys usually come in early, so you do a bunch of rehab type stuff with them. If you need to go out onto the field, do anything in the cages, you've got access to all of that stuff.
Cool.
Yeah, and then the healthy guys start coming in around 2 o'clock. They do their workouts, they do whatever they're going to do. Batting practice is somewhere around 4:30 if you're at home, so you head out to batting practice, make sure no one gets hit in the head by a ball.
Helmets, everybody. Where's your helmet?
You got every 3 seconds, you sort of have to turn around.
Heads
and
on a
make
swivel.
Sure, yeah, constantly. And so then, yeah, if any guys are sort of on the fence, they're out in batting practice, you see how it goes, you talk to the manager, make sure that he knows who's available, maybe who's not, they got
to
get the lineup.
So they're coming to you a lot and saying, are they available or not, or how are they, or where are we?
Totally, where are we, what's going on, he looks pretty good, or he looks apprehensive, you know, I won't use him tonight, whatever it may be.
That's cool that they're coming to you for that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's a lot of communication, it's a lot of talking. And then, yeah, so then they come in, they have dinner at like, I don't know, 5:30, 6
right.
o'clock, and then it's just game prep. Games at usually 7:05. 3 hours later, you're done.
Are you in the clubhouse? Where'd you like to watch the game from?
Yeah, I was usually in the dugout.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I would be.
Yeah.
Heck yeah.
Yeah, it was
they
cool.
sit right
it
next
fun.
To the bat rack.
That's true. Ate a lot of seeds. Chewed a lot of gum, yeah. But no, obviously, I mean, you're obviously there to do a job, right? So you're watching, you're making sure. I mean, they're so subtle, right? These guys have so many, the way they sort of prepare for the next
They've
pitch.
They've each got their own
They
thing.
Each have their own thing.
Don't mess it up.
But if they're out on the field and they have like this little sort of twitch,
they're
you're like, well, that's
you.
Not normal, right? So what's going on?
And those guys really know their own bodies because that's their job, that's their livelihood. So they really pay attention.
Oh, absolutely. You have to really be watchful, obviously, of what's going on, how guys are feeling, because they're not going to come out and tell you a lot of times. They'll just try to keep going.
Sure.
So you've got to be on it, and so if something does happen during the game, you've got to manage that. Obviously, we have our physicians, we have multiple athletic trainers, we have multiple things going on. During the game, the guys that either relief pitchers or, you know, the guys that are going to go in later in the game, they're getting ready, so you've got all that going on during the game behind the scenes. And then, yeah, game ends around 10 o'clock. You take inventory, do any post-game treatments. A lot of the relief pitchers will do stuff afterward.
Right.
So, you know, you're out of there by, you know, you do paperwork, you're out of there by midnight. So it's noon to midnight. If everything goes right, you
right.
know, and then if something...
Noon to midnight 162 times.
Right. And then
and
if
then
something goes
day.
Wrong, the next morning, you're at MRIs, you're at doctor's appointments, you're at whatever. So it's noon to midnight if everything is fine.
Wow. But it's baseball, and it's a long season, so everything's not always fine, especially when you got that many guys on a team.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's definitely a marathon. I mean, baseball is just its own beast with recovery and regeneration and just... managing volume and managing workload. And that's not easy to do.
Yeah.
You know, if someone knew how to do it perfectly, everyone would be, all 30 teams would be doing it.
Right. How big is a typical Major League Baseball medical staff? I mean, how many trainers, how many PTs, who's on the staff? Who's there every day? I mean,
sure.
Who's the everyday people?
Yeah, so our vice president of medical services was a physical therapist, athletic trainer, and he was there every day. They had me as a head athletic trainer, also a physical therapist, so I was there every day. We had two other athletic trainers. We had a massage therapist, and we had two strength coaches.
Wow.
So there were seven of us.
Yeah.
And a part-time nutritionist, depending on the year. So yeah, there were seven of us all the time. So we had a large staff, and that's getting pretty typical.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, they're seeing that more in, you know, teams are smart. If I'm going to pay this guy this much money, I want him on the court, I want him on the ice, I want him on the field. He needs to be performing, and if I'm going to spend some money, I mean, that's where John Q. Public should look. Who's hired by a professional sports team? What people do they have on there? I should probably have a nutritionist. Maybe I should visit one a couple times a year. Maybe I should have a massage therapist. I should definitely have a PT, an athletic trainer. If I want to do, even if I'm just doing, you know, weekend kickball and
absolutely.
I kind of feel something up in the hammy, I'll go see these professionals instead of sucking it up.
Absolutely. I mean, think about how many times, you know, you go to the doctor every year, right? You get your blood pressure checked, yeah. You get your cholesterol checked, you know, but there's no orthopedic check
right.
that people
And that's a big
do.
Topic within a place like this, like CSM, you know, within the field of physical therapy. Why aren't we seeing people on a regular basis?
Yeah.
You know, one of the things that was brought up on this show before was you see your dentist like twice a year, guaranteed. Well, almost guaranteed should. And you're just chewing with those things. And I'm not minimizing what dentists do. I'm trying to maximize or highlight what PTs can and should be doing. And you're hitting the nail on the head right there. So what made you want to start your own company? So you were introduced to dry needling. You liked the effects. You saw objective results. And you're like, I need to get a response, especially with athletes. Making the jump to actually starting your own company, that's not easy. That's a headache and a half.
It is a headache. But it's a good one. You know, it's one of those things where I feel like I have a unique approach to dry needling. I don't just teach one thing. We sort of have what we're calling this pentamodal method where, you know, there's so many different things you can needle, right? You can
right.
needle anything locally, active trigger points, those sorts of things. You can needle passive trigger points. You can needle fascial points. You can needle spinal segments. You can needle peripheral nerve pathways. You can needle local
areas. I
gotta
start writing this down.
Yeah,
jeez.
Like there's so many different things, right? And I think sometimes, unfortunately, the way some of the practice acts have been written is everyone kind of goes back to that trigger point dry needling.
All right.
That is one subsection of dry needling. There's superficial needling. There's, like I said, all these other things with fascia and peripheral neuromodulation type stuff. And so there's all of, it's just like manual therapy,
yeah.
right? There's so many different schools. Exactly. And it's what resonates with you.
Right.
So I think I have a unique approach overall. I definitely have an approach that gets results. So yeah, so I'm out there teaching. The company's growing. We're bringing on new teachers, which is great. We're blowing out a full curriculum, which is awesome. Right now I just have a foundations class, but we'll have an advanced class. Then we'll have some specialty populations
cool.
going on as well. So yeah, it's going in a really cool direction, which
cool.
is fun.
If people are intrigued, it is structureandfunction.net. You can follow Sue on Twitter at Sue Falsone. That's SueFalsone. I want to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll get into three questions. We'll get inside the mind of Sue. I want to dig a little bit deeper. And I want your predictions also for who I should put my money on. Since you know medical professionals in Major League Baseball, season starting very, very soon, who should I take the long shot on? Who's a good long shot bet in Vegas? Like the 100-1 team, but you think you might have the inside act. I want to get into your brain with that on the PT Podcast. Don't move.
We're working our brain and our brachioradialis at the same time. This is the PT Pinecast, brewed by Arias PT Staffing. Want a job? Ask Arias.
Spring is in the air. It's the season for growth and new experiences in your physical therapy career. Explore the country with healthcare staffing agency, Arias Medical Group. You'll find rewarding travel and full-time career opportunities nationwide. Know a PT? Make a referral and earn up to $1,000. To speak with a recruiter, call 1-800-340-2619 or visit ariusmedical.com. That's A-U-R-E-U-S medical.com. Introducing EcoPro Pillow Covers. Good for the environment and your clinic's bottom line. EcoPro Pillow Covers are the clinic pillowcase replacement designed to be wiped clean just like your treatment tables. Each EcoPro Pillow Cover saves you 2,600 gallons of water per year, time spent laundering pillowcases, and the money involved with clinic laundry with no special cleaner required. A special deal for Pintcast listeners. When you order online at EcoProPillows.com, you'll get free shipping on any size order with the promo code Pintcast. EcoPro Pillow Covers, created by PTs for PTs.
Let's give a nice, warm welcome to...
We're back. It's so great to see you. Let's get back to the show now. All right, we're back in the PT Pinecast with Sue Falsoni. Three questions powered by our sponsors, Arias Medical Staffing. First question is, now you've traveled all over, especially with Major League Baseball. If you could go and be a PT anywhere in the country, because Arias has placements all over the country, where would you want to go and really spend some time? What do you like?
Ooh. Based on practice acts or based on cities?
that's the first time anybody's asked me to clarify. I just want to know where you think is cool.
Yeah. I do love Southern California. Yeah. I know that seems like an obvious answer, but I mean, I lived in Hermosa Beach when I was the head athletic trainer, and it just...
That's not too shabby.
It was absolutely my favorite place. Like right between Hermosa and Manhattan, I live between the two piers, and it just was literally the best place I'll probably ever live.
I like it. Well, Arias Medical Staffing can get you guys hooked up. Second question, what's something you either are reading or have currently read, something that inspires you that you would tell another PT, you should read this?
Yeah, my favorite author, non-PT related stuff, is Patrick Lencioni.
Okay.
He writes some amazing business books. A couple in particular that I'm thinking of, Three Signs of a Miserable Job, and there's Five Dysfunctions of a Team, which is great, and then Death by Meeting.
I like the guy already because I freaking hate him.
they're so great. And he tells them in a very easy sort of fable-like story.
Okay.
But they're fantastic business management books.
Cool.
And really, if you're going to be managing people eventually, or even if you're not, if you have a manager, it's an interesting perspective on sort of how do you organize your team, how do you make sure that people on your team are satisfied and want to stay with you, and how do you keep your time productive. So Patrick Lencioni just writes some fantastic books that I'm a huge, huge fan of.
I like that. Third question. Who's someone within the field of physical therapy that we as the audience should know more about? Maybe someone who's flying under the radar but who does great work that you've come across.
That's a great question. We were just talking about this last night. Andre Labbe.
Okay.
He is a physical therapist in New Orleans.
I want to hang out with him already.
He's fantastic, yeah. He's absolutely fantastic. He does a lot of work with performance health, and he does just sort of fly under the radar. And he is one of the best PTs that I've ever seen, and he works with athletes at extremely high levels. Sort of same thing, and just a great guy, great person, great PT, great clinician.
Cool.
Super fun to talk to.
All right, those are the three questions from Arias Medical Staffing. New book coming out. Lots of people like to read books. Writing a book is an undertaking and a half. What's the book about? What inspired you to start writing a book?
Might have been the worst decision I've ever made.
It's so easy when you see it in print and it looks pretty and everything's nice, it's great, but getting there can't be. I've never written a book. I barely read books. So what's it about? What do we have to look forward to?
Yeah, it's the hardest thing I've ever done. It's called Bridging the Gap from Rehab to Performance. And it's really exactly about that. As a physical therapist, I have worked in just some really, I'm going to say, different spaces than people typically do. And really understanding, I used to think, my patient can do a 6-inch step up. He's good to be discharged. That's great. No, that doesn't mean he gets to return to football, right? He's not going to go up against another 300-pound man.
Not enough.
It's just not enough. And so when I started hanging out with strength coaches, I became a much, much better physical therapist. And so the book...
We hear that a lot. We've heard that sentiment a lot, which I like.
I've heard
the same from the strength and conditioning guys saying, when I talk to a PT, I tend to learn a lot.
It's really true. And so what the book is really about is how do you take someone from table to field? Sort of what are all the parts in between without having to drink the Kool-Aid, so to speak, of any one sort of school
method
of thought.
Okay, I like that.
Yeah, it's an undertaking. It's definitely a labor of love.
When can we expect it to be out?
I am hoping beginning of summer.
Okay, well, we'll make sure we tweet and we Instagram and all that, so you can follow us at PT Pinecast and all the social media outlets. Bridging the Gap from Rehab to Performance owns a wiener dog named Richard.
Yes.
Tell me about Richard.
Richard is super long. He's really cute.
Richard is super long.
He's super long. He's a black and tan pup. He's just over a year old, and he's just the highlight of our little lives.
I like that very much.
Awesome.
And training to be a sommelier. That's the wine expert thing, right?
Yeah.
But they only give the term or the grand poobah of sommelier. That's not easy. You've got to be able to identify stuff.
Yeah.
I can barely tell if it's white or red.
Yeah. Yeah. It gets very
deep.
Very deep. And I'm loving it. So I'm at very basic levels of that. I just am taking my Italian wine professional. I just finished the class, so I'm sitting for that exam hopefully in the next month.
I'm sensing you got a lot of downtime, huh?
Yeah, oh
writing
yeah.
Writing a book,
totally
running a company,
bored.
Being a PT, sommelier. You got Richard. He's long. So he likes long walks.
He's long.
So that's kind of cool.
It's really cool. And where I'm going to go with it, I'm not really sure yet.
It's a great way to start, though.
Yeah.
Because that's kind of what got me to PT. I had no idea, but I was like, this kind of seems cool. I'm going to go in this direction. That's where you find the greatest
it's
end of the
so
journey.
Cool. And I work at a wine bar once a week when I'm home.
Of course you do.
And
of course you do.
I know. It is stupid a little bit.
But do you like it?
As far as just my schedule goes. But yeah, no, I love it. It's one of my favorite things I do all week. And so, you know, right now I just am learning about the wines we carry and doing water and popcorn and cleaning dishes, and it's fantastic. I love it. It's one of my favorite
times. Want to make sure people can check it out in case they want to take a course or just find out more information. And you said you have the Foundations course now and more advanced courses from structureandfunction.net. You can follow her online at Sue Falsone. That's SueFalsone. Every episode that we record is a pint, and before we're done with pints, we do shots.
Oh, excellent.
She's looking around for the bucket. She's like, all right, it's like 10 a.m. Let's do this.
All right, great. I'm in.
Parting shots of wisdom.
This is the Parting Shot.
Powered by Optum. Optum offers weekend courses that are Monday morning applicable, utilizing approaches that make sense.
They promote excellence in hands-on treatment, exercise prescription, pain science, and clinical reasoning, offering a COMT,
as well as an APTA-accredited fellowship in orthopedic manual therapy, both online and in-person mentoring, with locations in Houston, Dallas, and Scottsdale, Arizona. Find out more online
at optumfellowship.com.
If you're going to leave the audience with just something, one little nugget, something that you've picked up in your career, could be with baseball, could be with being a sommelier, or just how long Richard is, what's something you want the audience to know about?
I would say do not limit your learning to the letters that people have after their names.
Cool.
Like I said, I've learned so much from the strength coaches and nutritionists and chiropractors and massage therapists, and just don't be limited by the letters that people have after their name. Just learn all you can. Surround yourself in a multidisciplinary thing. I think a lot of times, at least when I got out of school, it was PTOT speech.
Right.
But in the performance world, it's PT, AT, strength, nutrition, chiro, massage, acupuncture, psychology, right? All of these other things. So that multidisciplinary approach and really being able to embody that to me is huge.
I like that. I think it goes along with your don't drink the Kool-Aid, which is essentially like just take a little sip from everything, you know?
Yeah.
Ooh, maybe you being a sommelier is kind of like you're tasting a little bit of everything.
I am.
We're getting deep here, Sue.
Oh,
it's early.
Gosh. It's early, and we're getting deep. I like it.
One more time, at Sue Falsone, SueFalsone. Structureandfunction.net is where you can check her out. And I appreciate you stopping by. I know CSM's busy, so it's been a pleasure having you on the show. I'm glad we finally got to get you on. Sean was right.
Oh, I appreciate you having me on. It's been great.
The PT Pintcast is a product of PT Pintcast, LLC.
It is hosted and produced by PT Pintcast CEO, Jimmy McKay.
With executive producer Rachel German from the University of Wisconsin, Milwaukee.
And CBO, Sky Donovan from Marymount University.
We talk PT, drink beer, and record it.
This has been another pour from the PT Pintcast.
The PT Pintcast is intended for educational purposes only. No clinical decision-making should be based solely on one source. While care is taken to ensure accuracy, factual errors can be present. Our lawyers made us read that.
Hey, PT Pintcast listeners, I'm Eric Mara.
And I'm J.W. Matheson.
And we're from PT Inquest, a podcast that is also a journal club. Each week, we review and dissect a recent article that applies to physical therapy practice.
Or physiotherapy, as the weirdos on the other side of the pond call it.
Yeah, which pond are you talking about?
The Atlantic, or the Pacific, even Canada for that matter, everywhere but here.
Right. So check us out on the PT Podcast Network at ptpodcast.com or search PT Inquest on your favorite podcast listening service.
You can become our seventh listener.
Yeah, JW, we're down to five now. Steve stopped listening because he was getting annoyed with all your puns.
No puns. That reminds me of a sad story today. Abandoned cheese factory in France. It blew up. Horrible explosion. All that was left was debris.
Yeah, on second thought, probably better for people not to listen to this show.